gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is amazing. What? For those of you watching on Free Speech TV, Jim just sat down. I don't know how you timed that, but that is spectacular. You can see, don't it look like I was sleeping on a heating grate?
Well, I just pulled you off of one.
Right. It almost happened, Jim, for the first time in the home studio, I almost overslept. I did the thing with the alarm, like, you get up.
So, we're all so prepared this morning, apparently.
Right. Well, you and I prepared. We've been watching the cat jumping that wants to be let in, and also Happy Waving Bear.
Polite Bear. I'll post that on your Facebook page.
Okay. Is that a black bear or a grizzly?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
He's just the most polite bear in the
world. He's the most polite bear in the world, Jim. There's a couple people driving by in a car and waves. They're not the smartest, by the way.
Right.
They roll the window down. Hi.
Yeah.
But the bear actually waves.
He waves back.
Hey, got any food?
How you doing?
Got a picnic basket?
Picnic basket. Hey.
That is hilarious, I have to say. That bear waved. All right.
Maybe he escaped from a circus.
Yes. Lots to get to today. Oh, speaking of which, how perfect is this? We have Larry Schweiger, president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation, on today.
Right.
Guess who else is among the growing chorus against the Keystone Pipeline, Jim? The Snowy Owl. He wrote it. Well,
he's the voice of the Snowy Owl.
Right. No, he is not.
Well, he speaks for them.
He's not like a cartoon actor like Jim.
Well,
I
didn't mean that. He speaks for the Snowy Owl, who doesn't have a voice themselves.
That's right. That's right. No, it's a sign of just climate change and how... Did I hear, is my friend Ed Schultz on the turn against the pipeline? It sounded like it yesterday.
Good.
Sounded like it. I don't know. Let's come to the light. Everybody come to the light. All right. So that, we have Charlie Pierce, and we have Bob Seska on the big Tuesday show.
Exactly.
As you know. All right. So lots to get to. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of happy bears, I was laughing because right just as we were watching that... I got a love letter.
Oh.
From a happy bear, but a different kind entirely. Yes.
Okay.
Jeffrey in Pride, Fort Lauderdale, which is this weekend.
That's right.
I am on my way Friday. Carlos and I are actually on the same plane, and we're going to sit together. How do you think that's going to go for him? 5 hours.
I've been on the same plane as you. When we flew back and forth from New Jersey when we were on MSNBC.
Oh, right, right. I have 6 hours next to me, right?
I put the headphones on and turned the other way.
What are you doing?
Pretended I was asleep the whole way.
I've been so distant.
I think I watched Ice Age.
You totally pretended to be asleep, but I could tell you were not.
I watched Ice Age rather than talk to you.
Did you do cartoon snoring?
Ooh, really don't want to talk to you. This will be for Carlos's first sexy liberal trip where he has to fly with me. He has the misfortune of being from L.A. All right. Anyway, Jeffrey, right, Steph, I'm on the volunteer planning committee for Pride, Fort Lauderdale.
Cool.
It is Pride weekend. What a perfect time in the wake of Arizona and all these other horrible laws. We just heard from the folks at Broward, and you guys are going to be coming down with Sexy Liberal. You have made this group of bears the happiest bears in town.
Aww.
They're a bunch of
happy polite bears.
Happier than the average bear. Hey.
By the way, that video is now posted at your Facebook page.
That's what Pride's going to look like this weekend
in
Fort Lauderdale.
Of happy, friendly, polite bears.
Waving bears.
That's right.
Immaculately dressed.
For those of all y'all middle-aged folks rolled out of bed in Columbus, Ohio, or wherever, a bear refers to a...
Hirsute. Hirsute large man.
Gay man.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Not hirsute.
Everyone is thrilled, and we are thrilled that you're helping the gay and lesbian community. Yeah, we have to pick our sexy liberal cause, but... I tell you what, we'll get into all the what Bonefinger's going to do over in Arizona and all that in a moment. However, Tracy is worried about me. Dear Steph, I'm worried about you, girl. I just like it when people call me girl.
You go, girl.
Yeah, this reminds me, this is like the Whoopi Goldberg scene in Ghost. You're in danger, girl.
Molly, you're in danger, girl.
You're in danger, girl. Be careful in Florida. I seriously want you to be protected since they do stand to have the stand your ground law. You might be in danger. Steph, are you in danger, girl? I hope not. Yikes, I hope not. I told you, I have a plan. I don't have Kevlar, but I am going to grab Judy Tenuta's accordion if there is gunfire.
Grab a friendly bear.
No, I'm not going to grab a human shield. Then I'll be like Alec Baldwin in the gay community.
Alec.
What'd he do this time?
Oh, he wrote a great
5,000 word, I'm leaving.
Essay in a major national magazine saying that he's leaving public life.
All right. You know I have a soft spot for Alex.
I know. He sent you flowers.
He sent flowers the size of me.
Yes.
And I know because you think I believed him. I believed that he was supposed to do Sex with Emerald in D.C. and in Washington, and he was sick in New York, he said, and then he was stuck in traffic and in the inauguration and
sure.
What you call it.
Okay.
Anyway, we had a really hilarious email. We had love emails. However, this, I think he's just, here's the thing, is it gets to be a vicious circle. He clearly has, I think, maybe a skosh of an anger management difficulty.
A little bit.
Right. But then these paparazzis, because somebody, it's like Sean Penn, then they, you know, they do it on purpose. They like shout insults at him and then knowing that he's,
yeah,
and then they.
Sure.
Film, you know, so
it's like, come on, take a swing,
yeah.
Come on, I dare you. It's like bullies in grade school.
Yeah.
If they know it bothers you, they're going to continue doing it.
You thoughtless little pigs.
And I've had gay guy friends of mine defend him and go, I'm from New York, middle-aged guys from New York. That's what we always called each other, you know, because I don't think he's actually homophobic, but I don't get how he doesn't get that it's not just the F word for gay man. He goes, oh, I call him a sucker. Right, that's also...
That's not good.
And then he called a reporter the toxic little queen.
Yeah.
Also, not...
No.
No.
That's a better insult than the other ones.
Yes. Yikes!
Put more thought into it, at least.
And he took a shot at my beloved, Rachel Maddow. How can you, for God's sakes?
I mean, he's bitter at all of MSNBC and Rachel Maddow.
Right, but he doesn't know for sure if she got it. He thinks that she got him fired, but he doesn't know that. She released a statement saying...
That's stupid.
She released a statement saying, I've never met him on air or off. I wish him well. She took, you know, high road as usual. But, he said Rachel Maddow's a phony who doesn't have the same passion for truth off camera that she seems to have on the air. Yikes. Anderson Cooper got thrown to the bus. Who else? Also, that was the other thing, is he referred to a trans man as a tranny. Also, it was in a segment where he was trying to say, in the middle of his explanation of how he's learned to respect the LGBT community. So I think it's just...
Including the trannies.
Including apparently the trannies and the toxic little queens and also the suckers.
Okay.
Although I guess you don't have to be gay if you're calling a woman a sucker, but he happened to be calling a man a...
Yeah, okay, we get it. Yeah,
okay. Oh, actually, he... of this, he helpfully points out, he called him a...
Stephanie.
Oh, hang on. Oh, no, he didn't call me that. He didn't say that. Oh. Sucking mother. That's what he called him.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He says he didn't say the... I have no idea. Did you see the video? He said it's muffled and...
No.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.
I really didn't want to seek it out.
Okay. He called Andrew Sullivan and Anderson Cooper, members of the Gay Department of Justice. Oh, dear. And what else? Oh, guess what? He's going to move out here to L.A.
Huh.
Yes, he said, I probably have to move out of New York. Everything I hated about L.A., I'm beginning to crave. L.A. is a place where you live behind a gate. You get in the car. Your interaction with the public is minimal. That's why I love it. I hardly have to leave my... have to interact with people at all. Maybe he'll come stay here. Maybe I'll have him come.
You have an extra
just
bedroom?
A little decompression time. Right.
Well, once your nephew moves out, you'll have an extra room.
And then if he's up early, we'll just have him stumble down, be on the show.
Hair all
catty. He'll finally get, since he missed Sexy Little, he owes me.
That's right.
Is he here now?
His hair is always cattywampus anyway. That's how you could tell that MSNBC show wasn't going to go, because you're like, your hairdresser's clearly gay, and you pissed him off.
Of course, in this house, you're doggy wampus, not
cattywampus. Right, exactly. I would lint roll him. I would. He's
really?
A good, committed liberal. He's worked for liberal causes for many years, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly talented and funny.
He was 30 Rock. He was the best, one of the best things about 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sweaty balls. I mean, come on.
And he was a great dramatic actor.
I just blurted that out. I don't know what I'm... What?
He was a great dramatic actor,
too.
Yeah,
he is. And he's handsome and romantic.
That's right.
I think.
Well, and he was in Beetlejuice, for crying out loud.
For God's sakes, don't say that three times.
Because, then Alec Baldwin will appear.
It gets funnier every time I see it.
All right. The Pentagon is going to shrink the Army to pre-World War II levels. Literally, they're going to be like the little guys that you used to play with, little bayonet guy, laying down guy. They're going to be that
melted
small.
With a magnifying glass
right.
gun.
So they're going to bring back the big tube radios.
Right.
Weigh 3,000 pounds.
Right.
And then you always got the one parachute guy.
Right.
Which always lost him because you threw him up on the roof.
Or, yeah.
Right. Because you assumed that the parachute worked.
Well, sort of.
Didn't say on the box that it didn't work, so.
pretty rough landing, though, with that tiny little chute like that.
Yeah, of course. Has John McCain had an aneurysm for this yet? Warmongers among us?
I don't think we've heard from him yet.
Yeah.
He's a little more concerned about what's going on in Arizona.
Yes, and God bless him for that,
yes.
For speaking up. He and Jeff Flake both tweeted that Jan Brewer should veto it.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love this. The two Republicans that voted for it are like, oh, what did we vote for? We misspoke.
Yeah, it was rushed through. We didn't have a chance to,
We didn't really
realize. Does that seem mean-spirited, y'all, this really? Does it seem somehow exclusionary in any way?
Arizona politics is whack.
Yeah. I just did a Minnesota accent, by the way, for the Republican representative from Arizona. I don't know what I was doing.
Many people from Minnesota moved to Arizona.
Right. That's what I'm going with.
As long as there's an O in there. We're in Minnesota, now we're in Arizona. Somehow they wind up in Alaska.
I don't know. Anyway, but my point is, just because we're going, because then now it will be hard to get in like two wars. I'm like, good. Perfect. We won't be able to occupy countries for good. Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary.
We are repositioning to focus on the strategic challenges and opportunities that will define our future. New technologies, new centers of power, and a world that is growing more volatile, more unpredictable, and in some instances, more threatening to the United States.
But we'll still have Bayonet Guy, right?
Sure.
That's just for nostalgic purposes. I don't know if they're actually, really, do they still have bayonets?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
You're talking like we still fight on battlefields with, we don't.
It's if everything else fails. It's just, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we will, much more about that. That's actually a very big deal, and I think good news. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
When you call me, call me out.
Don't call me out.
No?
Why not? Well, if I'm doing Al Gore, but.
My favorite was your impression of him the first time he saw our show on Current. This was not my best decision. Yes, it was. We were the number one show on Current.
Yes.
We just blowed up Free Speech's Roku.
Not Current.
Right. This is one of the problems with the home studio. We were rushing to get some information off the printer.
Yeah.
As it turns out, this must be from my nephew actor, who must be auditioning to play Teddy
sides.
Today.
Teddy. Scene 1 of 5.
Would you like to read the scene?
He got his sides here, so.
Okay. I was like, what? Oh.
I don't think you're auditioning to play Teddy.
My handsome, romantic nephew.
We should get him in here.
Right. Yeah, whoever is producing that today, hire him. Paul Fitzgerald, most handsome, romantic, talented man.
Nobody did, but the baby cottages is coming up, and I'm feeling really good about it.
He's upstairs sleeping. Don't wake him up with the scene. My tiny baby nephew, who's in his 40s. Okay.
Yeah, tiny baby nephew, what?
he's
my age.
He's like 6'4".
Yeah.
6'3", something like that. All right. By the way, who speaks for the Snowy Owl?
Larry Schweiger.
No, you were supposed to say who.
Oh.
I should ask Jim.
Yeah. I'm too literal-minded.
That's funny. Exactly. You're being all producerial.
Well.
All right, just pretend that didn't happen. Jim, who speaks for the Snowy Owl?
Who?
Larry Schweiger, the CEO of the National Wildlife Fund. We're going to talk to him. He has a great piece about... Keystone Pipeline.
Yep.
Oh, and that, by the way, we mentioned that yesterday, but good news on that Nebraska has blocked, so at least we have more time, and hopefully it will not happen. Okay. By the way, we have some cowers, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody, speaking of animals, I can't hold that up to the camera.
No.
New York farmer catches alleged cowers with a hidden camera. That is a different kind of wildlife lover of which we do not approve.
Huh.
Gawker brings us the stories to upstate New York, of course, where I'm from.
Sure. Is there anything else to do up there besides that?
Listen, when I was a girl, cow tipping was sometimes
not
practiced.
Cow,
when
not
people,
cow doing.
No.
No. Not cow tupping.
Right. Two, a few Jenny Cream ales, and, you know, either way, don't do it. Just don't do it. Two upstate New York men were booked on misdemeanor sexual misconduct charges last Friday after a suspicious local farmer claimed to have caught them on video trying to engage in with the dairy cows.
Cow doing.
Right. A farmer outside Utica noticed his cows appeared anxious and failed to produce milk.
What are you doing back there?
Not really funny. Oh.
He installed video surveillance equipment. Try to determine why. What the farmer later found was that Michael Jones agreeing to record Reed Fontaine as he attempted to have sexual contact with several cows. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Hey, get the video camera. Film this. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
As my mother would say.
Upstate New York.
Oh, dear.
That's a special kind of...
Hey, there's a new kind of Ben and Jerry's, everybody, speaking of farms.
Oh?
Yes, Rocky Mountain Mike sends us. It's Career Crumble, a double crunch of bitter payback and fudged relief funds creating a politically rocky road. It's an honor for Chris Christie.
Aw.
Cute. Jim, who said, Uganda's law is a breathtaking act of injustice and cruelty. No person should ever live in dread of discovery simply because of who they love. Who said that?
Benito Mussolini.
No, very, very bad guess. Nancy Pelosi tweeted that yesterday. Yikes, we think Arizona's bad. Yeah, the Uganda bill. I love that they think it's softer now. They took out the death penalty for being gay.
Oh.
In Uganda. Now it's just, you know, nuts. Imprisonment for till you rot, basically.
Great. Fantastic.
Oh, okay. All right, so we were talking...
progress.
Apparently. Yikes. All right. We were talking about the Pentagon shrinking the Army to pre-World War II level. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, it'll be the smallest force since before the World War II buildup and eliminated an entire class of Air Force attack jets. You know planes. He's a plane guy.
He is a plane guy.
A new spending proposal that officials describe as the first Pentagon budget to aggressively push the military off the war footing adopted after the terror attacks of 2001. To which I say, right, yeah. Yay. The proposal takes into account the fiscal reality of government austerity and the political reality of a president who has pledged to end two costly and exhausting land wars. As a result, the officials argue will be a military capable of defeating any adversary, but too small for protracted foreign occupations. Yeah. To which, once again, I say, good.
Good. I never thought that we would be able to get away from war footing, because once you give the military something and try and take it away, they throw a hissy fit.
Right. They're not like, oh, here, would you like it back now? Yeah, I mean, but I think that, what was I going to say? The other thing, Jim, I don't even know you had the statistic at one point. I mean, we have how many nukes to blow up the world how many times over?
Oh,
like, how?
Right? It's a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. How
we've
much?
Only used two in the entire history of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your body is a wonderland, by the way.
Adam West,
who I've worked with.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, Greg has a good idea.
Oh.
Staff, if they pass the Arizona anti-gay law, I saw something on Facebook suggesting everybody start wearing T-shirts saying I'm gay. Even if they're not. Good luck refusing everybody. That is awesome.
Is everybody gay?
It'll according to the
like
shirts.
In and Out, the Kevin Kline movie. Just everyone say they're gay. That is, see? Thinkers.
What a fabulous window treatment.
All right. Chuck Hagel, defense secretary on this Pentagon shrinking the size of the Army.
This plan balances the need to protect our national security with the need to be realistic about future budget levels.
By the by, officials said that despite budget reductions, the military would have the money to remain the most capable in the world, and that Mr. Hagel's proposals had the endorsement of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Money saved by reducing the number of personnel, they said, would assure that those remaining in uniform would be well-trained and supplied with the best weaponry. Yeah, remember when we under-equipped them and sent them into the unnecessary legal war?
Hey, go into a war with the equipment you have, not the one you wish you had.
Right, exactly. Cheese and crackers. The proposals, of course, certain to face resistance from interest groups, which oppose efforts to rein in personnel costs, arms manufacturers that want to reverse weapons cuts, and some members of Congress who will seek to block base closings in their districts. We're going to hear from all the usual actors. Chuck Hagel yesterday.
We seek a highly ready and capable army, able to dominate any opponent across the full spectrum of operations. To achieve this, the Army must accelerate the pace and increase the scale of its post-war drawdown.
I mean, at least I think, you know, it would help us have to pause before we literally could not get into two situations like Iraq and Afghanistan again, because we don't, and good, good. General Martin Dempsey, Joint Chiefs Chairman.
This budget helps us to remain the world's finest military, modern, capable, and ready, even while transitioning to a smaller, more affordable force over time.
And by the way, it's still like a lot. It's still 400 and something thousand. It's not like, I know, people freak out. And General Dempsey again.
We're all willing to take risks, but none of us are willing to take a gamble. Because at the end of the day, it's our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, America's sons and daughters who will face tomorrow's challenges with the strategy, structure, and resources that we develop today.
Strategy, structure, and
resources. It's a bit of a tooth whistle.
Sources. There's too many S's.
What he was saying is very important.
I know.
It is War and Peace, Life and Death.
That's all. I was like, Tom Brokaw, I'm going to say too many L's.
Perhaps he was eating Cracker Jacks too enthusiastically and the whistle ended up stuck.
Who's Cracker Jacks?
A candy apple.
You know why I like to say Buck McKeon, Jim? Because then you can say. Is that what you are or what you do?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Representative Buck McKeon, Republican of California.
When you cut from a 600-ship Navy that we had just a few years ago under President Reagan to one that is fast approaching 300 and 200, I really question that. So I think that what we're trying to do is solve our financial problems on the backs of our military.
All right.
No, the military wants these cuts, Buck.
Isn't there a character in that?
Buck Turgidson.
Right.
Yes.
In the Die Die Kill Kill movie.
Oh no!
No.
No. Doctor Strangelove.
Oh.
No. Doctor Strangelove had Buck Turgidson.
Right.
George C.
Thank
Scott.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Diane in Arkansas.
It was really Curtis Lemay.
Hey. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Diane.
I'm a regular listener.
Thank you.
And I wanted to make some comments about the cuts in the Pentagon budget.
Mm-hmm.
I've been associated with military as a veteran or a spouse since 1965, so I know a lot about the military and their benefits and the sacrifices the present force has endured four and five tours in the war zones. And I applaud the cuts in military hardware, but at the same time, they're talking about cutting the benefits of the military members who have sacrificed so much and some.
Well, yeah, Diane, I was going to say, you know, I think there's two things here. One of them, you know, this sequester was ridiculous and should have been undone. That's so part of this is, you know, some of this is being driven by fiscal austerity, which, you know, we could have done this in a more, in a smarter way, let's just say. So I don't necessarily disagree with you. I mean, I do agree in general that we should reduce the size. I don't think we need the size military we have, but you know, I mean, the Republicans, once again, were the ones that voted down, you know, the veterans' benefits. I mean, anyway, all right. I was saying that, obviously, the Arizona law. Oh, I love this one. Who's this guy?
An Arizona state senator.
This is what, Arizona state senator, Republican Al Melvin, Jim, said there is no discrimination in his state. He's never witnessed it.
Mm. So, therefore, it didn't happen.
Right. Like the Duck Dynasty guy said he never saw a black person that was unhappy.
Right.
It picking cotton. They were all singing, and he's never seen discrimination.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's what he said. So it didn't happen, obviously, because he's never seen any sort of discrimination.
He needs to get out of Mesa every once in a while.
I've never been to China, therefore it doesn't exist.
Right, right. Yes, in the papers, please, state he's never seen any kind of discrimination of any kind.
Right.
Okay. All right. By the way...
Where are your papers?
And the other guy, because we had to check if this was an Onion headline.
Yes.
But there is actually a Republican lobbyist who is behind the no gays in the NFL bill.
Yep.
It's an actual bill that he's actually trying to get into Congress. It turns out he has a gay brother who says he's an ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have no idea why this Republican lobbyist is doing this, because don't Republicans hate when government gets involved in business decisions?
Right.
In theory.
Up in your personal life. Yeah, they seem to be somewhat, inconsistent on that topic.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. So I wanted to focus on good news before we get to the Arizona thing, because I have said that this is really a backlash to how quickly gay rights are moving, because it's indefensible, and I don't think these are going to hold up to legal scrutiny. But I was reading about same-sex marriage moving swiftly back to the Supreme Court, because everyone's watching that, because that's the other thing, is that will affect all these things. If we have marriage equality nationwide, you can't make laws like this. You just can't. The legal campaign for marriage equality picking up speed. Picking up speed, everybody. Keep your arms and legs inside the marriage equality train at all times. Moving at a pace that has surprised even longtime advocates and increasing the likelihood of a definitive Supreme Court test as early as next year. Once again, another indication of why elections matter and why they're so important. We're going to talk to our friend about the head of the National Wildlife Association. Mm-hmm. There is a case. Hang on. I have it. I was just thinking of this one. Supreme Court to weigh EPA move to regulate greenhouse gases. There is so much that is going to matter at the Supreme Court in a huge way. Huge.
Huge. Huge.
Right. But anyway, so efforts by some lawyers to plan a careful strategy for which cases to push forward to the high court have largely been put aside amid a rush of lower court rulings striking down bans on same-sex marriage. And then we talked about the most recent, of course, in Virginia. David Boies, who's obviously part of the team of lawyers that Prop 8 out here successfully defended or struck down, he said, I don't think there's any way to predict which case is going to arrive first. That's what all legal experts are looking at. Increasingly, judges are saying they see no legitimate justification for denying marriage licenses to same-sex couples. I just think now we're have a momentum and a tipping point that even people that are planning this and saying, oh, we have to pick the right case in the right time, it's become like a groundswell. It's become a stampede, really. A big gay stampede.
The gayest
in
ever.
Fabulous footwear.
And everybody running and their heels hitting
right.
their butts.
Right, exactly. Not the Lez's. We're running
oh,
really
yeah.
well.
Well. Yeah, you yeah. run like quarter Dude. Horses.
Right. Shut up. I should be hauling Budweiser on my back.
Exactly.
I remember a girl from kindergarten, Melissa, who would run like that. Kick her own butt. There,
really?
That's the only time I saw that. That's interesting.
Huh. I've known a few guys who have done that. So,
yeah. The sequence of rulings amounts to a fundamental shift in the legal landscape. According to one expert, jurors increasingly are saying marriage discrimination against loving and committed gay couples is indefensible under our Constitution. The shift not limited to judges. Oh, and Eric Holder just came out yesterday and said that state attorneys do not have to defend. They really should look at that.
That's right.
You are not required to defend a law you think is unconstitutional. And that's what's happened, in a lot of states already. Blah, blah, blah. This is interesting. The pace of the rulings may be more rapid than some Supreme Court justices would have preferred. This is the one instance when, Judge Ginsburg, the notorious RBG. There's T-shirts like that.
Really?
Yes. I know a lot of legal geeks.
That's kind of geeky, but awesome.
Right. Right. But she long argued that the Roe v. Wade decision was too fast, that a step-by-step approach would have been less polarizing across the country. But she's already performed same-sex marriages, so she's obviously in favor of marriage equality. By the way, my friend was here that married my friends Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner at the party.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lily was.
Right, and the woman that my lawyer friend Brenda.
Really?
Yes. Once an appeals court hands down a decision, the losing side will have 90 days to file an appeal in the Supreme Court. As a result, a ruling that comes this summer could easily reach the justices in time for a decision in 2015. So we could be very, very close.
Sweet.
And right on cue, what's the matter with Kansas, as usual? There, we go. Once again, another
flat.
State. Right.
It's very flat.
Well, right. And maybe some flat earthers.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've also got, I mean, that's the thing. People are looking at Arizona because that went the farthest, right? But, I mean, you know, Kansas started with this, and it's just, it's, I don't, you did, like, somebody made the best point yesterday, right? They said it's not a religious right to have a business.
Right.
I mean, to conflate religious freedom with that you can discriminate is just,
it's
not legally defensible.
Someone made a good point yesterday. You can sell me a cake and still think that homosexuality is a sin.
Right.
We're not taking away your religious rights here.
Right.
At all.
Right. Right. You could make some sort of a demeaning cake if you really feel like you want to make a statement.
Sure.
I'm not going to.
This cake tastes demeaning. It's distinct aftertaste of demeaningness.
Right, right. Anyway, but yeah, so we will talk about what is going to happen in Arizona as we continue. 46 minutes after the hour. Kids, it's what? It's this Saturday, Florida, sexy liberal, Fort Lauderdale. By the by, what was I going to say? Oh, there's some great new pictures up of Phoenix Sexy Liberal with all y'all.
New pictures, not nude pictures. It sounded like you said nude pictures.
Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or sexyliberal.com.
Including the notorious one where I'm in horse snats behind you.
Oh, no, not that one. That one's already been
posted.
That's the new Arizona state flag.
Yep.
Jim is positioned helpfully behind me.
Yes.
I dropped something on stage, I think.
Is that what that was?
Yes. Right, Jim was trying to help me.
Find it.
Right. Oddly, we never did find it.
Mm.
Anyway. Oh, are you playing a thing? Do you have a thing ready
to
play?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, fabulous. All right. And so those tickets are almost gone. Very, very exciting. Judy Tenuta on panel with us. Jackie Schechner, our celebrity guest panelist for Florida. Sex
Warning.
Liberal.
This promo contains material not suitable for stick-up-the-butt conservatives.
Just in time to kick off Spring Break 2014. The hottest, craziest, most off-the-hook progressive head-turners are hitting South Florida. It's Sexy Liberals Gone Wild, Fort Lauderdale.
So hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On March 1st, the official start of Spring Break 2014.
Springtime for
Stephanie Miller.
The world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and the pride of progressive media, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available at ParkerPlayhouse.com or by calling 954-462-0222. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 1st, at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. Get your tickets now. Go to ParkerPlayhouse.com.
Yeah, do it, get it, and then don't forget all the upcoming shows at Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com. Of course, Madison sold out in March, but April, the big Chicago show, do it, get it. Albuquerque is May, and Minneapolis just announced in June. All those tickets going very fast. Get it right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You may be right. I may be crazy. May be wrong. But all I know, but you may be right.
Ba-bing, 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 ba-bing. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal Carlos Alazraki live in studio with us before he has to sit in a plane next to me for 5 hours on the way to Fort Lauderdale.
Good luck with that, Carlos.
John Fugelsang joins us Friday. He's lucky enough to live in New York and not have to fly with me to Sexy Liberal. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Angela in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Steph. How are you guys doing? I just wanted to let you know that I was at the rally last night in Phoenix.
Awesome.
At
the state capitol.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, it was amazing. We were well over 1,000 people, and it was like gay, straight, questioning everybody. It was such a show of solidarity. I moved here from New York about 8 years ago, and it's absolutely beautiful state. I mean, you know, aesthetic wise, but as far as the government, it's horrible. So this was just an amazing movement. And I think we're going to see more of that out here. And I'm really, really proud of the state.
Yeah,
we're all coming out.
Angela, we were just there in Phoenix at Sexy Liberal, and it was just an amazing crowd. I mean, you know, and I think we were about 1,000 strong. I think that's how big the theater is there. But it you know,
right.
I think that what we heard time and time again, like at the meet and greet and all that, is you don't want to be known as a state that sanctions hate, you know, or as John Fugelsang says, it's a dry hate. But
yeah.
I mean, after the after the Papers Please Law and those boycotts, you're like, oh great, now we're going to be the anti-gay state.
And going
as well.
Back to the Martin Luther King Day thing
right.
back in the '80s.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's absolutely ridiculous. And like I said, I just really, I get a good feeling about this, and I think we're going to have a really good movement here in Phoenix and in the state of Arizona. I'm looking forward to some good years. You know, hopefully it's going in the right direction.
Angela, what do you think Jan Brewer is going to do? Obviously, you saw that both Republican Senators John McCain and Jeff Flake tweeted that they hope she vetoes it. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing a lot of different things, but mostly I'm hearing that she's going to have to veto it because she's just going to look really terrible. Our state's going to look really awful for the rest of the nation.
Yeah, even the Republican-run Arizona Chamber of Commerce says, "Hey, you need to veto this bill."
Right. Yeah,
because it's bad
right.
for business.
Well, we're hitting them in their pockets. The Super Bowl is supposed to be coming here in January
next year.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and that's a big moneymaker for the state. So we'll see. I said, if we're hitting them in the pocketbook, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Angela, you keep fighting the good fight there, honey.
Definitely. Thank you, Steph. You too.
All right, honey. Bye. Sorry, I hung up on the wrong person.
Oh, poo. No.
Sorry. Okay, I love this. Actually, Anderson Cooper... very good point he made to
That's
this
right.
Arizona representative. State Senator Al Melvin, a Republican, Jim, has never seen, so if he has not seen discrimination in the state, then it must not exist. Right. He became confused and upset on CNN when Anderson Cooper asked whether a hypothetical business owner could refuse to serve an unwed mother or a divorced woman under the measure because the Bible condemns such behavior. Good question.
Absolutely.
And why are we mixing our church in with our state in this way?
Exactly.
Who would, first of all, that was a crime against English, whatever he said. Who would discriminate them? I think he left out
against.
Right. That is a crime against the English language. Who would discriminate them? Melvin said. I've never heard of discriminating against people like that. Yes. Thank you for playing Missing the Point
exactly.
entirely, you moron.
God.
I never have. I don't know where you're getting your hypotheticals from, sir. From the Bible, the same that you just quoted. You know, all of the pillars of society are under attack in the United States. The family, the traditional family, traditional marriage, mainline churches, the Boy Scouts, you name it. Melvin insisted he didn't know a single Arizona resident who would discriminate against a fellow human being. Oh, really?
Okay, wow, really? Wow.
That's the whole basis of this.
Joe Arpaio for one.
Yeah, there's one. I can just off the top of my head. By the way, I was looking at, it really is amazing when you look at the particulars. I was looking at just the Kansas bill.
Mm-hmm.
The bill would also allow government employees to refuse to assist gay couples seeking services to which they are entitled.
Yeah.
When such a conflict arose, the agency would have to substitute another employee.
Yeah.
The statute isn't a model of clarity, but it's possible that it would allow a county clerk to refuse to help a gay couple with paperwork associated with a will or a real estate transaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... What?
Well, luckily they passed a much, much less heinous bill last week.
Yeah, but But it's just I'm just saying it's like when you look at the practical applications of this, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to John in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm a big fan of the show, and I agree with almost everything you say. But I was a little uncomfortable with what Eric Holder said, and you know, I guess it's a democratically passed law, and what he's saying is, hey, if you disagree with the morality of the law, just ignore it. And I just wonder.
Not morality, legality.
Right. Thank you. Very good point. Ooh, Chris LaVoy for the win. The tip-in at the buzzer. Nicely done, sir.
If it's unconstitutional, you don't have to follow through with the law.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, I'm 6 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Well, we've been saying how much important environmental news there is in the... I don't know if that's in your crossword, Jim.
A little bit.
Yeah, but over here, there's important
Snowy
stuff
owl
going on. Right.
Just ate across.
Exactly. Then you'd pay attention. Supreme Court to weigh EPA move to regulate greenhouse gases, industry groups, and, of course, Republican-led states asking justice to block what they call a brazen power grab by the president's environmental regulators. We are obviously in the midst of debating the Keystone Pipeline. Keystone Pipeline faces new obstacle in Nebraska, to which we say,
good.
And then on cue, as in what could go wrong, Mississippi oil spill closes part of the river, including New Orleans port. I don't know if you heard about this latest one. 65-mile stretch of the Mississippi River, including the port of New Orleans, was closed to all water traffic Sunday as crews cleaned up oil that spilled from a barge after it ran into a towboat between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. All of this, as I say, in the midst of the debate over the Keystone Pipeline, and very, very excited to have our friend Larry Schweiger on, who's president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation, who joins us now. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and it's great to be with you this morning.
We're so glad to have you. I read your piece about the snowy owl and a connection to the far north and the perils of the Keystone Pipeline. Talk to us about that, because this is obviously all anybody's talking about right now is the Keystone Pipeline debate.
Well, the Keystone Pipeline is obviously a project to bring tar sands out of Canada through the United States and to export into international markets. The challenge on the pipeline is many. The fact that Canada is developing these tar sands means that they will increase their carbon emissions by about 38% by 2030, when in fact the scientists tell us we need to be cutting our emissions by 5% a year up to 2030 when we cut them in half. And so they're going the opposite direction, and we're helping them to do that if we approve this pipeline.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's interesting, Larry. You hear people say, oh, well, you know, everybody there is for it. Well, first of all, you know, the oil companies are there dumping money at people. This one rancher that is part of the lawsuit there, you probably heard about this in Nebraska,
yes,
said they came out here like a bunch of bullies and tried to force it down our throats. They told us there was nothing we could do to stop it. And I think one of the big things is when you look at majority, you know, polling in the U.S., it says people are for it. But I think it's because people don't have all the facts yet, don't you?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that comes out of this whole conversation around the Nebraska litigation is the problem that we have with these tar sands pipelines is these are not typical oil pipelines. These are transporting, you know, high viscosity oil that's hard to move, and so you put a lot more pressure on the pipe. They're corrosive because this is very acidic formations in Canada. And they're also, sand grit in them, so they're basically abrading the pipeline. So these pipelines are going to be under increasing stress, and they're not the typical pipeline, which has problems in itself. But these are very dangerous pipelines that will, you know, surely have problems in the future. And I think the ranchers are very wise to challenge the decision. I find it really amazing, incidentally, that a Canadian company can take landowners who have been on the land for 100 years or more to court and take their property away. They have a right of eminent domain.
Right.
It seems like it's upside down to me, and that's part of the problem here. You know, it depends who has the power in Washington and what they get for that power.
And Larry, you raise a really good point in the piece you wrote. As you say, Canada's tar sands oil development in Alberta is already causing broad disruption, degrading habitat, leaving behind toxic ponds, and polluting the air and water. It's one of the reasons Canadians are against the pipeline, right? Because they, you know,
especially the Indians,
right? The more facts they've gotten, obviously, the more they've turned against it. Correct.
One of the things that really bothers me that doesn't get a lot of coverage is there are these enormous ponds that are being created where they mine the tar sands, and these ponds are full of toxic material, water, and other debris, and they are attracting waterfowl. U.S. and Canada and Mexico have long had a treaty for migratory birds, and we're all expected to live up to that treaty. And this area is attracting birds and causing, you know, literally thousands of birds to die. And in my view, it's a violation of the original understanding of migratory bird Treaty Act, and it's one of these really sad things. And also the people that live there have to put up with this tar offal that comes into the rivers and affects the air and diminishes their quality of life.
Well, that was what your piece was about, Larry. You were saying the sudden arrival of snowy owls up and down the East Coast and as far south as Florida is a surprise. It's one of the largest known migrations of snowy owls in U.S. history. You know, and we always have our, you know, our friends on the right mocking stuff like this, but explain what this means. It's not just about the owls, right? It's about climate change.
Well, and the owls are a reminder that we're connected. You know, we have this, periodic surge of owls that come into the U.S. because of vole populations and other changes that are occurring in the Arctic. There's no question the Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the world. And so the changes that those owls and other northern species are experiencing are quite dramatic, and they are warning signs. And you know, I believe that wildlife are an indicator of our future. Rachel Carson in 1950 knew that climate change was happening. She didn't know why, but she knew it was happening because she saw birds migrating in places where they hadn't been before, fish moving further north, and changes happening. So by listening to nature, she knew there was a problem and yeah. warned us about it.
Well, I mean, and you also quote climate scientist James Hansen said if Canada is able to develop its tar sand oil reserves, it'll be game over for climate change. You know, so you say the Keystone it symbolizes the choice we face between clean and dirty energy, a warmer planet or a livable planet, and we can't curb climate change unless we continue to rely on polluting fuels like tar sands oil. And I think that it really is a critical moment, isn't it, in this whole debate?
We have a choice. We can either invest in clean energy and give our children and their children hope, or we can continue to invest in dirty and increasingly dirty fuels and degrade their future. And I don't know a single parent or grandparent who would knowingly compromise their children's future, knowingly threaten their grandchildren's very survival. And yet that's exactly what we're collectively doing as a nation. And we need to wake up to what this means and what it means to our children.
Well, you know, I know people that know you very well, so I got background. I got deep background on you. But a lot of that, that's what I've heard is you're a devoted family man, especially to your grandsons, and that's where a lot of people come by their passion to leave them a better planet, right?
It is about our children and about our obligation. You know, there's, in my faith tradition, it says a good person leaves an inheritance to their children's children. Well, those children's children now have a name, and they're in my case they're my five grandsons, and I look at their future and I worry deeply about what happens to them and what happens to the world that they're going to inherit. And so to me the greatest inheritance we can give our children and grandchildren is to have a safe and balanced environment, and yet we're compromising that with our actions and with our choices.
I also heard that you got your love of nature from your grandmother.
Yes. Well, my whole family was, outdoor family. My grandmother inspired me with her passion for making a difference. She worked for the city of Pittsburgh, was involved during the efforts to clean up the city of Pittsburgh. She worked for the mayor and, always was very proud of the cleanup that they did there in those days. And so that was an inspiration for me.
Well, I understand that you, by the way, congratulations are in order. They're going to honor your 30 years, good God, at the National Wildlife Federation. You're going to get an award, right? Conservationist of the Year. President Clinton's going to be there?
Well, President Clinton's going to be honored himself for his good work on during his time in office. We were able to do the roadless rules and a number of other really important things that protect landscapes. And so it's an opportunity to honor the president. And I have spent over a 31-year period. I've spent 24 years working for the Federation and the rest for other organizations. But it's been a great ride, and I dearly love the Federation and believe deeply in its purpose.
Well, we are so grateful that you took time for us when we have all these important environmental issues going on. We really appreciate it. And the snowy owls, thank you as well.
That's right.
On the behalf of the snowy owls, we thank you. Larry, thanks so much. We'll talk again soon. All right. Bye-bye.
I
was
reading about the pipeline. The stuff is so viscous
Right.
But they have to heat it up to get it to
move. And it's gritty.
And then it releases all the, releases all this stuff into the air, and people have to abandon their farms.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is what Larry writes. He said, in Washington these days, the idea we can build the 35 million gallons per day Keystone tar sands export pipeline and suffer no ill consequences is treated as serious thinking. I mean, it's like you always say, what could go wrong? I mean, come on.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything.
Yes. Like if you're not talking close enough to your microphone, then it's difficult to hear all the...
Because I have to pet Fred.
Because you are Fred's chief petty officer.
Moving further away from me, so I...
Well, that's more important. That's true. That's more important than the radio show to me, so good. Make sure to get behind that one ear. Okay.
Don't encourage him, Steph.
Whoa! Pardon me. Yes. God bless us, everyone. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour from Esquire.com. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Louise in Pennsylvania. Hi, Louise.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm my first time caller, and that I've got away from cable. I get you off a satellite on Free Speech TV.
Yay!
Yes, and I'm here to totally agree with the wildlife guy that the Keystone Pipeline is horrific. It's evil. It's straight from the pit of hell. And last night on MSNBC, Josh Fox was on talking about the CEO of Exxon, who is suing a fracking company because he doesn't want them fracking on his property.
Oh, mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Yeah, not my backyard. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as so many other things that I've done. I'm in an area that has been fracked to some point. And also the pipeline, not just the pipelines, but the wells. The integrity of the wells are so bad that after just a few days, it just leaks methane. And even though a lot of these wells are not regulated, they're not regulated in New York, PA, or anywhere.
Well, and obviously they're trying to steamroll over these, either they're buying them off or they're steamrolling, they're bullying them, as this one landowner said, right? Mm-hmm. They're, making it seem like you can't stop it, it's going to happen anyway, and you might as well take the money, and you're absolutely right. By the way, I was talking about, this is, once again, why elections matter. Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court. I was talking about them weighing the EPA move to regulate greenhouse gases. The Obama administration's drive to regulate greenhouse gases could hit a snag at the Supreme Court as industry groups and Republican-led states asked justices to block what they call a brazen power grab by the president's environmental regulators. I mean, everything he does, and I just saw a breakdown yesterday again by I forget who, but the president has used executive order so many less times than any other president. It's just everything he does, it's, Hitler, power grab, lawless, blah, blah. Amid legislative inaction amid a deadlocked Congress, the EPA adopted regulations in 2011 that require new power plants, factories, and other such stationary facilities to limit carbon emissions. Texas, Florida, 15 other, here we are again, 15 other Republican-led states joined with business and energy groups in accusing the president, the EPA, of overstepping their authority. California, Illinois, and 13 other Democratic-led states join with environmentalists in supporting the EPA's rules. And again, we have such a divided Supreme Court. It's really going to matter.
How is protecting the environment somehow radical?
Exactly.
It gets in the way of big business.
You have a spare planet.
It gets in the way of big business. That's the only reason why.
But I know an awful lot of Republicans that care about the environment. I thought environmentalists
breathing the same air as everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. They would do something about that if they could.
Yeah.
Environmentalists accuse industry officials of greatly exaggerating the reach of the EPA's new rules and their likely cost. They noted that federal regulators have only targeted new and major emitters of carbon dioxide, such as power plants, not the vast number of facilities that produce carbon pollution. And by the way, the Democratic-led states pointed to the recent practical experience right here in California and New York, showing that switching to low-carbon energy sources can produce more efficient and less polluting industrial processes delivered at a reasonable cost. Yeah, a lot of these issues, you know, Bill Maher did that great piece that we played. A lot of the stuff like we're doing in California, it works.
Yep.
He said we're creating a socialist fagtopia. Is that what he called
it? That's what he called it.
But it's stuff that works, and you know, you can't just say it's theoretical anymore. Environmental lawyers said the energy industry advocates are trying to refight a battle they already lost, and they're still seeking a total exemption for greenhouse gases. Once again, all eyes will be on Anthony Kennedy, who's the swingiest of the swing votes.
Yes, yes.
Most environmental law experts say they're confident the greenhouse gas regulations will survive. Let's hope so. But you know,
I wish you'd been Teddy Kennedy. Get some stuff done.
Yeah.
Let's go to Alex in New Mexico. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how you doing? This is my first time calling, and I live right next door to Arizona. And my wife, she grew up in Chinle, Arizona, which is right smack dab in the middle of the Arizona, or in the middle of the Navajo Nation, mm-hmm. which occupies a good quarter to a third of the landmass of Arizona.
Yep.
I'm a little curious on where the Navajo tribe sits on this whole discrimination thing, because they're, for the most part, not Christian. And
right.
they do most of their business with the various businesses outside of the nation because they don't, they need to. They don't get their goods and services on their land masses. And if they're dealing with these, you know, really heavy fundamental Christian organizations, who are, well, they don't like the Navajos for the most part.
Sure.
I'm wondering what's going to end up happening with them, particularly with a lot of their money. And a lot of their business.
There are so many.
He's really addressing
yeah.
that one.
There are so many unintended consequences with this piece of legislation. It's not even funny.
Yeah, well,
and that's one of them.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. That yeah, I mean, Satanists. You can. I mean, it's just that's
sure.
the thing. It's such a slippery slope,
yep.
Legally and otherwise. Republican Governor Jan Brewer, of course, facing intensifying pressure Monday from CEOs, politicians in Washington, and state lawmakers in her own party to veto a bill that will allow business owners with strongly held religious belief to deny service to gays and lesbians. The course of operation of opposition has grown each day. We just have someone that called in from the rally. They were 1,000 strong yesterday in Phoenix. Three state senators who voted in favor of the bill changed course and said they oppose it. John McCain. Obviously, Esper would have vetoed the measure, as did Apple Inc. and the CEO of American Airlines. So, and I think she has, what, 5 days? I'm not sure when.
I'm not exactly
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. yeah. She was at a thing with a guy. She's on her way back. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Radio contact is sufficient. No need to extend your middle finger.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, Dawn in Washington State writes, Mama, callers, and even Julie Brown yesterday. How delightful was Julie Brown?
She was such a confection.
She is a little comedy confection, that one. They keep asking why you're going to Florida and why you just visited Arizona. One would think sexy liberal, but no, the answer is very simple. Double indemnity. Just ask a guy who owns the show that wants to kill you for the life insurance money. If you die an unnatural death, he gets twice the bang for his buck.
Is that legal in Florida?
Did you ever check to make sure Ron hasn't taken out some kind of additional dead peasants insurance policies on you and the mooks? I think we should check into that.
And what does Fred McMurray think about it? He's in the movie.
On a serious note, do be careful with the Sunshine State Mama because it's because of Stand Your Ground. And by the way, if Arizona had the don't serve the gays law when we were just there for Phoenix, sexy liberal, they would have lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gays drinking a lot of hooch.
Damn right.
Right?
Oh, in Florida, you're going to have the bears protecting you.
There you go. There you go. All right. All right. Speaking of hairy people that we love, there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Hello, my cute furry little friend.
Oh, did you see Barney Franco with Rachel Maddow last night? He has a beard now.
He was a silver bear.
He has a silvery beard like mine.
I believe it, Boston Sexy Liberal. I actually did scridgy your beard up because I can't help it.
I look like Max. I look like Max now. We're both white around the muzzle.
I think I tried it again at the inauguration. You said, stop that. Elizabeth Warren's leaving. Go. Get.
Have you explained to the boys how I picked you up and threw you out the door at her?
Yes. Yes. He actually did. He physically said, you're going to miss her. Go. Oh, God. You are terrifying. Speaking of terrifying, wow. It is just another day, another right-wing wingnut. Dr. Milton Wolf, who you say
oh,
is...
Oh, man. This guy's right. Great.
He's the president's nutty half-cousin, who's also a doctor. He's the one that, he's challenging Kansas Senator Pat Roberts.
Yep.
Yes, he posted some gruesome x-ray photos of shooting victims on the Facebook, along with some witty comments, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the great scandals of all time. First of all, he is related to the president. Second of all, he's a doctor. And third of all, he thought it was like the height of, you know, Mad Magazine humor to put, like, x-rays of gunshot victims on Facebook.
Oh my God!
It's like the coroner's office in Farmville got hacked.
Oh my God! And let's not even go to like what their family members might think of. I mean, one of the comments he writes, "What kind of gun blows somebody's head completely off? I got to get one of those."
Oh my God! That's creepy.
What a sick bastard!
Yeah, and then he said, of course, when this came to light, he said it happened years ago, and
right.
Pat Roberts is doing this. Pat Roberts' campaign is doing this because they hate doctors.
Right.
They hate doctors who put, like, you know, gruesome photos on Facebook and laugh about them.
Right. Right. He said for them to be published in a much more public context now by a political adversary who would rather declare war on doctors, creepy doctors that, like, put gunshot victims on Facebook.
Nice to meet you, Dr. Fibes.
God.
I got that reference.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris LaVoy.
Yeah.
Chris LaVoy spent many hours in dark theaters and matinees watching Dr. Fibes.
Exactly. I like my Vincent Price.
Vincent Price.
So obviously your Sunday show roundup, my personal favorite, because I did not get to see Chris Wallace grill Scott Walker. You said, Wallace decided to ask Scotty about it, and you can hear the gears come loose all at once. Angry dullards make wonderful TV. Yeah, we had John Nichols on yesterday, Charlie, who's known him for so many years, and he said, oh, he was nervous. He is not used to getting actual questions on Fox News, right?
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure, you know, his advisors said, you know, go there, you'll be fine. This is your safe, you know, this is your safe zone. This is where you can say your safe words and nothing will happen to you. And suddenly Chris Wallace's conscience stirred to life and, wait a minute, you're not answering my question here. Wait a minute.
And as you say, Walker's clattering tap dance through the empty pantry of his own mind perhaps distracted you from Susan Rice's triumphant return to Disco Dave's disco dance party. Meet the press.
Right.
Yeah, I was talking about this Monday, Charlie. You say he asked Rice if she had any regrets for saying things that were later misconstrued for rat purposes, and Rice told him to go climb a tree. Yeah, there she was, right? Calm as a cucumber. It's like, yes, right.
Oh,
David,
yeah.
Right.
No, David, that's incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. She said the notion I or anybody else in the administration misled the American people is patently false, and I think that's been amply demonstrated. I mean, it just even the tone of his questions, right, are like the right-wing talking points.
Well, I don't think it's so much that. It's will you please apologize for the criminal misuse of your words that have been made by your political enemies?
Right.
Isn't that your fault? No, it's not her fault. Stop.
Right. And then I was laughing so hard at this because I watched the same Chris Matthews on the panel that you did. And you said, I'm damned if I know what he was talking about in regards to the situation in the Ukraine, except to note that he may have taken the old window pole to the noggin once too often from the nuns at Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. Exposed grammar school. Yeah, I don't know what it was, something about going to school with Ukrainian kids.
He started talking about how they used to say the rosary for the captive nations in Europe. I used to do that too. Not that it helped very much, but... You know, the Russians weren't taking to the shelters because a volley of Hail Marys were coming over the pole. But, you know, I don't know where he was going. I mean, plainly where he was going was he didn't know anything about what was going on in the Ukraine. He was tap dancing. But, man, frankly, I don't blame him because I'm not exactly sure where I'm supposed to line up there either.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of a sudden we're back not just in the Cold War, but in the coldest part of the Cold War. In the 1950s, we're all gathering before class every day to say prayers for the captive souls in Russia.
Right. Well, I mean, I think because the problem is we don't have actual debates on foreign policy anymore. It's just, you know, as I talked to Eric Bollard about this week, all week it was obviously whatever happened was the president's fault in Ukraine. Right. And then when it turned around.
The debate comes down to how much of the president's fault is it really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This may have been my favorite line from this week. You said, when it comes to mongering him some more, nobody can touch Senator John McCain, Republican of bile. yeah, so he was, let's see. He was also talking about Benghazi first, right?
Of course.
He said, Susan Rice read talking points we're now beginning to believe came from the White House, which were absolutely false. And you say, we're now beginning to believe? That's all you've got? If only we had a Vice President Palin's supple mind off which to bounce that situation. I mean, yeah, where did he pull that out of?
I don't know. I'm sure you're coming to believe that, and a week you'll be coming to believe something else. But, you know, the Benghazi thing is, you know, he's now moved into, like, a global condemnation of everything that the administration has done in foreign policy forever. Now, nobody ever asks them what his alternatives would have been. I mean, would we have massive military aid to Syria and the Ukraine and, you know, Jordan and wherever else? You know, he thinks the national nether parts have to be waived. I don't get that. I mean, the guy thinks he can stand up and make a bold pronouncement and the rest of the world will just fall down. I mentioned, remember when 2008, where he showed up in Washington and almost blew up the financial recovery package?
Yeah.
Because he hadn't been involved in putting it together?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I absolutely. Charlie, we've been talking Keystone Pipeline this morning, and I loved your piece. You say an editor at a magazine called Science, who used to work in the White House, has changed her mind over the project. As you say, we win. Get out of the way, Nebraska farmers. It's death tunnel time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason you say she seems to believe that TransCanada, which is currently being pilloried in the courts for arranging to steal people's land from them, can be tamed by the right combination of regulations and magical thinking. We just had a guest on this morning that said that really should not be considered serious thinking.
No, I mean, I think the two things that have come to light, I started doing this because I went to the Florida straw poll in 2011, which was kind of like the opening exhibition game for the Republican nomination fight. And, you know, it was the Florida Republican Party. They had all their candidates for all their statewide offices as well as the presidential candidates there. And they all started talking about why we should build this Keystone XL pipeline thing. It was an article of faith, and I'd never heard of it. So right. I went back and I said, well, why are these people? And then I went, you know, started researching it and so forth. It's a horrifying prospect. But I think the two things that are coming to light. Number one, the eminent domain issue is really starting to bite a little bit, because that's one, if you're a serious conservative, you can understand. And the other thing is, this is being built by a company that cannot be trusted.
Yeah,
its pipelines are already leaking.
Right.
The first Keystone pipeline has already leaked. The track record is they will build this thing, they will put all the state of the art stuff in it, and then they won't maintain it.
Right. Well, and you know, as we've already seen, I mean, look at, you know, BP's already trying to backpedal out of the settlement they already agreed to. We've seen this play over and over.
Yeah, I mean, the two principles you always have to remember when it comes to the extraction industry is, number one, oil companies lie, and number two, pipelines leak.
Uh-huh.
When they don't blow up. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to, you know, thank, you know, good for Ed Schultz for actually going to Nebraska and talking to folks.
Yeah.
By the way,
he sounds to me like he's coming around on it. I think he got
his teeth into the whole, you know, it's safer than taking it by rail and by truck.
Yeah.
Issue, and he rode that for a while. But, you know, the global point is this stuff shouldn't be used.
Right.
It's the world's dirtiest fossil fuel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a larger issue. I agree with you, because, I mean, I read a opinion piece on it where I'm like, yeah, I get, like, politically, what if we lose the Senate over it? What if, you know, this, what if that? But I think you're right. It's just, it's too important, you know.
I mean, if there's anything I would recommend somebody read is to go back in Esquire and read my colleague John H. Richardson's piece, who he went to northern Alberta, the place where they're producing this stuff. is uninhabitable now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's an absolute moonscape.
Right.
You can't live there.
Right. Right, which is why they're smart enough to be against it. And, you know, and like you say, we're getting so many oil industry talking points here that I think last poll I saw 60% of Americans are for it. But, you know.
Yeah, 60%. It's not coming through 60% of Americans' land.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
and that's the in your backyard thing. Like,
I mean, you saw this thing with the oil industry guy who wants to get he's filing the lawsuit so they won't frack near his house.
One of my listeners tweeted Ed, I think, like, what if this was coming through your ranch, you know, and I think, and the other thing, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, but one of my listeners, we are schooling Ed Schultz, little by little, one of my listeners called and was quoting something from you, and Ed said he doesn't know who Charlie Pierce is.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio, I was crushed because I had met Eddie. I worked at the free clinic that they had down in the world a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I was a volunteer.
I'm sure
and
it was.
I went out of my way to shake Big Eddie's hand. I was very disappointed.
I'm sure it was a momentary brain fart. Next time I see him, I will.
Esquire, what is that?
Yeah.
Some kind of gay magazine?
I love that. My listener said to him, he goes, "What? He's on Stephanie Miller every week. What are you? You can get thrown out of progressivism for that. What do you mean you don't know who Charlie Pierce is?"
I've been thrown out of better joints than progressivism. Yeah.
All right. Love you, honey. Talk to you next week.
See you next week, kiddo.
All right.
Bye,
honey. Bye-bye. I was like, what? Sacrilege. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, delisted. What did they say?
Hide your vaginas. Robin Thicke is single again.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Hey. Yes, Robin Thicke and his wife, Paula Patton, split after 8 years of marriage.
Yep.
According to, this particular thing, the split comes after months of rumors that the singer had been cheating. Maybe some blurred lines in the marriage, so to speak.
I blame Miley.
Do you?
They met when Robin Thicke was 14.
I know. I read that.
Yes.
I read that.
And they have a son named Julian Fuego Thicke.
Whatever.
Wow.
Okay.
Julian Fuego Thicke.
Okay. By the way, in other sad show business news, Harold Ramis.
Oh.
I was really shocked.
No. Yeah, this is awful.
He was only 69. What do we not love that Harold Ramis did? Ghostbusters, Stripes, Caddyshack, Groundhog Day.
The remake of Bedazzled.
All
maybe
right,
didn't like that one.
Listen.
But
tragedy plus time.
I know. Okay.
This is one of those freak, life is too short kind of things, though, right? Because it's one of those things you hadn't even heard he was sick. It was complications of an autoimmune inflammatory vasculitis, a rare disease that involves swelling of the blood vessels. It began with an infection that led to complications related to the autoimmune disease. I mean, he had some infection in 2010. That was very, very sad.
Yeah.
He seemed like, from everybody I know, that he's just the nicest guy. So was sad, sad. Bob in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hello, and the comments on the Arizona law brought up to me that the power of signage and bumper stickers. Yesterday here on WCPT, somebody mentioned a bumper sticker. I believe corporations are people when they execute one in Texas. I'm thinking that the signs that say no shirt, no shoes, no service, that you see every now and then, somebody should come up with one that says nobody from Arizona served for both Democratic and religious reasons. Back in 2002, I lived in Dennis Hastert's hometown.
Oh, yeah.
He was running for office for Congress. And I had this idea where if I'd have had any money, I'd have got 300 or 400 color bumper stickers that said Hastert for president, and in fine print by double impeachment if possible. bumper stickers are a good idea, and I think we should come up with signs for merchants in the rest of the country, Arizona.
All right, good idea.
I wouldn't do that in Florida, though, because it might make someone want to stand their ground against your bumper sticker.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If you'd be threatened by a subwoofer, then...
Is actually Schamburg his district?
I don't know.
No, it's not. Oh. It's fun to say Schamburg.
We haven't talked about Beefy McBratwurst in a while.
No, he's not as beefy as he once was.
Well, we're in Chicago for Sexy Liberal Libra. We got to go get some Bratwurst. Somebody mentioned a couple of places. All right. Let's see. By the by, we were just talking about, obviously Arizona is just the latest law, but somebody did a roundup of just sort of, and these are like some are mainstream Republicans. Ted Cruz, he would be, an elected senator and all.
Sure.
He asked his supporters to simply pray that LGBT Americans did not get equal rights because same-sex marriage was heartbreaking. He was on a right-wing radio show. I think the most important thing your listeners can do is simply pray, because we need a great deal of prayer, he said, because marriage is really, really being undermined by a concerted effort.
Pray the gay away.
And it's causing significant harm.
Yes. Oh.
Yes, let's pray for the
homosexuals. My marriage has been so impacted by the homosexuals. Look what they've done to me.
You and Jenna seem very happy at the party.
Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of gays there.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
The
fact that they exist just drives people crazy.
Yeah, they seem to still be the party of isms, meaning sexism, racism, homophobism. Anyway, my point is, Wolf Blitzer made a good point about what did he call him? Mongrel? Half something? Yeah.
Subhuman
mongrel.
Yes.
He called the president a subhuman mongrel. He noted that Nugent's hate speech was almost identical to the slurs used by Nazis against Jews. So then, as you know, Nugent had a Twitter freak out.
Yep.
He lashed out comparing CNN and Blitzer to the Nazis propaganda wing. Wow.
Wolf
I know
Blitzer
you are, but what am I?
Wolf Jewish.
I'm not a Nazi. You're...
Wolf Blitzer, prominent Jew.
Right. Then, as happens in America these days, when we want the debate to be elevated, Sarah Palin chimed in.
Oh, you'll betcha, golly. Guys and gals.
Taking her break from her reality show?
Amazing America. Yes. She chimed in endorsing Abbott for governor on Facebook. She said, if he's good enough for Ted Nugent, he's good enough for me.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
Did you hear that Ted Nugent has now taken responsibility for getting Piers Morgan fired?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. And then we have the Scott Walker emails that John Nichols was talking to us about at The Nation. His ex-deputy chief of staff replied to an email comparing non-white welfare recipients to dogs, saying, that is so hilarious and so true. Another email, as we talked about yesterday, among top staffers described a nightmare in which someone wakes up as a black, disabled, Jewish homosexual with a Mexican boyfriend. The person ends up being a Democrat. And that's so funny because it's so dumb and bigoted.
It's like extraordinarily dumb.
Wow. Wow, wow. And I don't know if you saw this one. Three fraternity brothers have been expelled from their frat and face possible hate crime charges for putting a noose around a statue of James Meredith, the first African-American student to attend Ole Miss. Because that's also funny, funny, funny. The frat prank. Oh, God. It's an amazing America, isn't it?
It's amazing. Sarah Palin's America.
Oh, boy. 58 minutes after the hour. Bob Seska and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it might be. We are hearing at this hour that Arizona Governor Jan Burrell will reportedly veto the controversial anti-gay bill. Sources are telling Politico staffers Brewer tends to veto the bill. NBC News political reporter Mike O'Brien is also confirming that report. So let's hope that is not that that is.
She will veto it by 4:20 Mountain Time today.
Yeah, is what we're being told. So hooray if this is true. All right. Go Bonefinger.
I wonder what the significance of 420 for time is.
Oh, maybe.
It's a pot thing?
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
She'll go, was I high? Well, I didn't. I'm not going to veto it. What?
The Senate was high when they passed this.
maybe that's the significance. Are you high? What are you doing? We're already losing enough business over the papers, please. Law, for God's sakes.
I guess corporations as big as American Airlines and
Apple
and Marriott. Wrote her a letter this morning saying, hey, don't do this.
A strongly worded letter.
Yes. Well, okay. Arizona
bad
was
for business.
Arizona was really hit hard by the recession in 2008, mm-hmm. and they're just now starting to get their tourism back, mm-hmm. and this would have completely decimated again.
And you know what else I'm going to take credit? Sexy liberal. Wherever we go, we were just there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were just there. Wherever we go, we win. I'm just saying, whatever sexy liberal cause we give to, it just turns out that way. Okay. By the way... somebody tweet, look at, speaking of sexy liberals, look at how handsome and romantic Tom Fugle saying he is.
Ah, would you?
He's so handsome. I think he's, by the way, I think the debate is over. I think he's not going to cut his hair. Because
really?
So many people said cut at sexy hair. Liberal that they want to John Fugle sing's
happened
hair.
Just the other day.
Oh, there's some new pictures up from Phoenix Sexy Liberal with all y'alls at Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com, and what you call it, Stephanie Miller Facebook. Yep. Do it.
You, Jim, and my tricep. For some reason.
Yeah, well, your tricep is impressive.
Well,
all right.
Tricep is more like most people's quadricep.
And there is a handsome, romantic picture of John Fugle. Isn't that a great picture of him on stage by himself?
Yep.
Awesome.
Giving his blue steel.
And, this is from Jill Bond, who is a political blogger, tweeted that picture of John, seeing this guy, John Fugle, saying, sexy liberal in Fort Lauderdale. That's this Saturday. Julie in Seattle sent this. Mama saw this tweet from a Twitter cohort, Jill Bond, who's coming to Sexy Liberal in Florida.
Bond.
Thought I'd give you a heads
Jill
up.
Bond.
So you can take extra time to molest her during the meet and greet. Yeah, she's hot. Hmm. And she's a left-leaning pundit based in Naples, Florida.
Hmm.
She says, left-leaning, fact-checking, free thinker, snark lover. Okay. And Stephen King caressed my arm once. Wow. Awesome. Here she is, Jim. All right. Okay. Now, speaking of Florida, many people are concerned that I'm going to get...
shot?
Right.
Or drunk?
Well, I think it goes without saying that I will get...
drunk.
Let's hope that I don't get...
shot.
Thank you.
You can have a shot. That's different.
Right. I will be having shots. Let's hope that I do not. There's a story a day like this. We just did one yesterday. Sadly, the guy shot himself after leaving a gun safety class.
Yes.
He's okay. This guy is not. Indiana man accidentally shoots himself dead during a gun sale.
Uh-huh.
Fort Wayne, Indiana man is dead after the gun he was selling to a relative actually accidentally discharged into his chest. Okay, and Julian Seattle sends another gun not-so-fun fact. The presence of a gun in a domestic violence situation increases the risk of homicide for women by five. Five times. That would be five times.
Right.
Just saying. Oh, and Joyce, by the by, says, Steph, I did a Google search and found these articles that contradict what the caller the other day claimed, which is an NRA meme, by the way, that African-Americans benefit from Stand Your Ground more than... I
knew that smelled.
Yeah, smelled a little.
Yeah.
According to these articles, African-Americans only benefit if they're shooting other African-Americans. Whites still benefit more. Who benefits the most is if a white person shoots and kills a black person. If a black person shoots and kills a white person and claims Stand Your Ground, the shooter is more likely to go to jail.
Yeah.
Thanks. Joyce, P.S., when is Sexy Liberal going to be in L.A.? You never know. Sexy Liberal elves working round the clock, and I wouldn't know because I'm usually
drunk.
Right. And then I'm just told. I'm told things later, and I don't know.
You're told to get on a plane and go.
Just go. Fly like the wind. All right. By the by, by the way, we missed this story. We just had Charlie Crist on, speaking of Florida.
Sure.
We just had Charlie Crist on, and I remember a lot of our listeners wrote in. They're like, yeah, he's too reasonable to be a Republican anymore. It's no surprise he's not Republican. But so he was promoting his book, as he was in his book, of course, is the party's over, how the extreme right hijacked the GOP and I became a Democrat. So did you see this? He was at a book signing in Florida. A group of Tea Party affiliated protesters disrupted the book signing by calling the former Republican a commie whore and shouting that he looks like an AIDS victim.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you should change the title of the book to Proving My Point Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what
this
I'm saying about the Republican.
I can't
hang
with you
right.
low-grade morons.
He was signing copies of the aforementioned book. And by the way, one reporter said those were the most printable comments that you could.
Yeah.
Bette Midler noted the incident and tweeted a message alluding to the Tea Party's history of posing as grassroots movement while actually receiving support from corporations and wealthy oligarchs like billionaires to Charles and David Koch. She tweeted yesterday at a book signing in Fort Lauderdale, Tea Partiers shouted commie whore at Charlie Crist and other insults. Wonder who paid him. Well, awesome. Rock on, Bette Midler. All right. Oh, you know, speaking of people of color and Florida, Washington Post, John Boehner just bought a condo in Florida. Hello, retirement. There are rumors.
I only there because it's right next to a tavern.
You could just full-time golf in, like, a bottomless margarita.
Great.
Keep them coming.
Chris Saliza speculating. John Boehner's purchase of an $835,000 condo in exclusive community in Marco Island.
Mm.
Oh, is that where Marco
Rubio
lives? A story broken by Breitbart News has increased chatter that the House Speaker is planning his exit strategy from Washington. His office quickly sought to downplay the purchase as a sign of anything.
I just hope it's not over a sinkhole.
Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, politically speaking, the timing of Boehner buying a condo in Florida just days after he broke with his conference to push and vote for a clean debt ceiling is hard to simply dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm thinking he may be getting ready to
skedaddle.
Little full-time. why do I picture him just in a golf cart just with a beer hat?
It's a bourbon hat.
Hey, weren't you the speaker of the... shut up. by the by, this is very sad news. John Dingell, longest-serving member of Congress, has announced his retirement. Michigan Democratic representative. He has held office since 1955.
Holy cow.
Yes, he did. Wow. He told the Detroit News his decision was largely a result of the increased partisanship in Congress, a factor mentioned by a number of other members who have announced their retirement this year. He said, I find serving in the House to be obnoxious. It's become very hard because of the acrimony and bitterness both in Congress and in the streets. This is not the Congress I know and love. And he obviously, we've been talking about all these environmental issues this morning. He was a big player on environmental issues. He was an advocate for the auto industry, but also... you know, he wrote a lot of the clean air and water regulations.
1955. That's like 11 presidents ago.
Right. He was also the lead sponsor of the Affordable Care Act. He has been championing universal health care since he took office 60 years ago. He would have been 88 at the start of the next term. But, I don't blame him. Everybody we have on, congresspeople, I'm just like, I can't even imagine what your job is like. Good God. Jim in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim. Hi, Jim. Did I do that wrong?
I'm calling.
Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling this morning because we were talking about the reductions in defense, and I think it's a great idea if we try to combine that with putting these returning vets back to work.
Yeah.
Keeping the infrastructure in America. There's no reason why they couldn't continue to be in the armed forces, collect their retirement, and still rebuild the whole infrastructure of this country.
Yeah, well,
the
president has proposed all of that.
You know, somebody ought to present that to these Republicans. They're so afraid of what we could do to our vets. Well, we could bring them back here, fix the infrastructure of the country at the same time, create jobs.
Yep. Yep, all good ideas. All will it get done with this Republican Congress?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell to the nose.
Hell's no.
Hey, here's a new idea in politics. Jebby. How
about...
and isn't there another one? Jim, one of the little brown ones, is running in Texas. George P.
George P. Bush.
Who, weirdly, I hear doesn't seem that bright.
I think someone called him stupid.
I'm not a smart man.
At least Jeb has, he,
right.
He has some brains, I think.
Right.
Yeah, he does.
Jeb Bush.
You got to show respect. You have to listen to people rather than kind of dictate how it's going to be. And I think we've become a little more harsh than we need to be. So the first step would be to tone it down a little bit. You know, chill out. We don't always have to come across as angry.
Wow.
As George Sr. would say, should have been him. Smart one. Wasn't supposed to be the dummy.
Big mistake. Let the dummy take over.
Okay, Jebby, one more time.
We had a Bush. Then we had a Clinton.
Oh.
Then we had a Bush. Then we're going to have a Clinton. And then he turned to me and goes, and then we're going to have a Bush? I get the point. I get the point. And it's something that I'd have to, if I was to run, I'd have to, you know, overcome that. And so will Hillary, by the way.
Not really. We had two Bushes, only one Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the first Clinton was spectacular success.
Right.
Time of, you know, prosperity and peace.
Yeah. So I don't think Hillary has
Bush
anything
was,
to overcome.
No. Yeah.
In that respect.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, go ahead, run on Bill's term.
Sure.
Try running on W's term. See how that works out far. Yeah. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Joey Ramone has the same birthday as me.
Aww.
Different year. I saw the Ramones at Royce Hall at UCLA.
Oh,
and
wow.
The kids trashed the place.
So
they said, yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Damn kids and their voodoo
Damn
music.
Damn kids and their rock and roll 8-track tapes.
23 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up. In the bottom of the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, you know, I've often said I believe children are the future. I'm guessing a 13-year-old Girl Scout intent on selling a bunch of cookies set up a shop outside a pot dispensary in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
It's proved to be a brilliant
move.
Oh,
yeah.
After 45 minutes, she had to call for reinforcement cookies.
Wow,
she sold 117
really
boxes in 2 hours.
Awesome.
Smart girl.
I believe the children are our future.
Can I have some more of the peanut butter ones? What is it? Gauchos?
She's going to be a CEO someday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's going to be a president.
Yeah.
A love letter from Kurt in Kirkland, Washington. Steph, I have for many years past listened to you faithfully on progressive radio in Seattle when there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I currently find you on Progressive Voices via the TuneIn Radio app. It is genius. I listen every day. Oh, by the way, that's where I listen to my my favorite Hoa, Randy Rose. I'm going to be on her show today.
Uh-huh. Are you?
Yeah.
boy.
To promote
You're crossing
Florida.
The streams.
Florida Sexy Liberal. Yeah, right?
Harold Ramis warned you against that.
blah, blah, blah. I even seen you in person, Sexy Liberal in Seattle. Could you please respond with the acknowledgement that I am now your official straight, white, bald, beyond middle-aged, unashamedly bleeding heart liberal physician who is not afraid of gay people, brown people, follically advantaged people, youngsters, social and political progress, progressive taxation, or universal single-payer health care.
Wow.
Whew. I remain your humble minion. Thank you, Kurt. That was a mouthful. Okay. All right. By the way, one of our favorite comedy binkies, you know, that's the thing. The Republican Tea Party idiots,
mm-hmm.
they're kind of like potato chips. They just keep making more. We keep munching through them at Sexy Liberal for the Bachmans is what we refer to. But now there's a whole new crop of morons. However, I guess we didn't need this piece in Salon, but I guess it's Michelle Bachmann's political analysis is moronic.
Hmm.
The one is she basically echoed the thing that we only voted for President Obama because of guilt.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
She's dumb.
Last week, Michelle Bachmann told a reporter that white guilt had helped elect Barack Obama. Bachmann, of course, is wrong.
And dumb as a post.
Right. Right. Although her gaydar is working flawlessly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nothing barbarians gets, nothing gets by disciplined. Her. Could I, would I give anything to go back to the magical moment when she first met Marcus? She'd say to a girlfriend, oh, he's cute.
He's so neat.
I'm super.
He is so
thanks
cute.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
You think she just, like, said to her girlfriend, oh, my God, he's cute. You think he likes me? Girlfriend's like,
wow.
Yeah.
The Nile's sure. Not just a river in Egypt.
Sure he does. From exit polling, we know who voted for Barack Obama, Salon writes, and it wasn't a wave of guilt-induced white people. In 2008, Obama won 43% of the white vote. In 2012, he won 39% of it. These are roughly the same percentage of white votes that Al Gore got in 2000, 42%, John Kerry in 2004, 41%. And they typically, as they typically do for Democratic presidential candidates, whites voted against Barack Obama by a landslide. In 2004, 70% of people of color voted for John Kerry. In 2008 and 12, the figure rocketed to 80%. This increased margin of support combined with an increased level of non-white turnout to deliver Obama decisive electoral majorities. So this is why it leads us once again to why it's the only tactic the Republicans seem to have is voter suppression. Because they're like, well, we just need to keep those people from voting then because, the darkening of the American electorate, Salon writes, and the decline in Republican power it entails has been met head-on with a coordinated efforts to disenfranchise non-white voters and Democratic voters more generally. And as we know this, Republicans have been passing these laws everywhere. Blah, blah, blah. Research finds these kind of restrictive proposals. This will shock all of you.
Mm-hmm.
We're more likely to be introduced in states with larger African-American and non-citizen populations
really?
And with higher minority turnout in the previous presidential election.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
I thought it was a coinkydink.
Mm-hmm.
These proposals were also more likely to be introduced in states where both minority and low-income turnout has increased in recent elections.
Hmm.
And in recent... recent evidence, they're making no effort to reach out to minorities except to, in a bad way, except to give them the finger.
Exactly.
All right. Kevin in D.C., hello. Speaking of minority outreach, hi, Kevin. And, of course, I refer to the reach around at the Washington Sexy Liberal. Hello.
Yes. And I refer it to my memories quite often myself.
Oh, boy.
Spank, bank. What?
Trying to stay on the good side of your FCC license, I always try to follow the dictates of your show with lighthearted, with virtual anything, but jokers like Jan Brewer and Ted Nugent make it very difficult for me. Intellectually, I know people like that exist in this world, but I really wish they would go away.
Me too. All right, right back with Bob Seska on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are terrible. You've got no rhythm, no coordination. I've seen two epileptics share a bowl of noodles with more grace.
Oh, God.
Who hasn't, really?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yikes. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Our friend Bob Seska has written a piece entitled, Why We Shouldn't Ignore Ted Nugent or His Fellow Crackpots. Really, Uncle Bob, do we have to pay attention to Uncle Ted?
Yes, we do. We do. I mean, he's got a public profile. Anyone who has such a platform like Ted Nugent, we gotta look at him. We gotta say, this guy is ridiculous. We need to marginalize him. We need to point out how ridiculous he is.
I saw him yesterday on the TV, and all I wanted to do was use my no-no hair removal system to take that ridiculous thing off his chin. What is that? What is that? It's not even
it's
beard.
It's a soul patch to make up for the absence of a soul.
Exactly.
I'd like to take some flesh off of his chin with my fist.
Whoa!
Go, Bob!
Bob Seska throwing down this morning. But you know, you raise a good point that you say whenever extremists blurt out extreme things online or elsewhere, there's always a concurrent sub-debate about whether we should pay attention to these people. The most recent case, of course, is Ted Nugent's meltdown. So he was reacting to criticism on CNN, right, with his epic Twitter tirade, as you say.
Yeah, yeah, it was a little late because I mean I think when he called the president. I can't even believe I'm repeating this on the radio. He called the president a subhuman mongrel and a chimpanzee.
Right.
This is a few weeks ago.
Well, I didn't hear the chimpanzee
CNN
part.
Yeah,
I was
just the uptake,
right,
decided
Bob,
to report on this last week.
Right. Bob says that the chimpanzee part was actually lost in all of this, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you have subhuman mongrel,
right,
chimpanzee tends to get downgraded in terms of its offensiveness.
Right. So, Wolf Blitzer hosted a guest who obviously noted the Nazis referred to the Jews as subhumans. And again, you kind of go, isn't this sort of feeding? I guess that's the problem. It's like Sarah Palin, right? She does the same stuff. She just, and then we all, or Ann Coulter, and then we all react to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's sort of this endless loop, this Ouroboros of crap, you know, where, you know, someone says something outrageous and then we react to it and they get notoriety because of that and then they keep going. But, you know, you can't help but to do it. You have to do it. You have to call it out. You have to, I mean, Right Wing Watch or Media Matters or your show, for example, does a great job in doing that, and we have to keep doing it. Otherwise, it's, you know, they just are more empowered, and they're, you know, they continue to feed upon their notoriety.
Bob, maybe you're right. We just can't avoid it in this sort of social media universe that we live in. I mean, you know, I remember when I lived in New York the first time, I remember I literally saw a guy defecating on the sidewalk in front of me. But in New York, people go, oh, you know, and you just walk around. So, like, these days, it's like a social media flinging of poo, isn't it? Where it's hard for us as a country to just ignore it.
Well, there is a little bit of that. But, I mean, I can't see where or any reason why to ignore it. I mean, I feel as if we ignore it, then they just keep going. I mean, because we're never going to silence them. I mean, and that should never be the goal. It should never be the goal to say these people should shut up and stop talking, because they're never going to do that. I mean, Ted Nugent's going to go to his grave just continuing with these dollops of crap. But, I mean, the goal should be then to make sure the public knows that these are people on the fringe, that these are ridiculous people who have nothing but hate in their hearts, and their words are poison, and that should be the goal, to continue to feed that to the public as a response to whenever these people up and say something ridiculous.
I part of me politically thinks we should be happy. It's like, okay, really, you're going to let people like this in the, you know, campaign for mainstream Republican candidates? But
I mean, he's out there. I mean, Ted Nugent's out there right now stumping for the presumptive governor of Texas. I mean, this guy is, I don't know, 11, 12 points ahead of Wendy Davis right now in the polls, Greg Abbott. And he's likely going to be the governor of Texas, like it or not. And that means that Ted Nugent will have a seat at the table within the government of the second largest state in the union, and that's a little bit scary. I mean, and Greg Abbott's not the only one. I mean, this guy is in cahoots with whether it's Steve Stockman or Rick Perry, you know, and he has influence. I mean, he absolutely has influence, and whether or not he's not going to be writing any legislation for that matter, but I mean, he's a guy who has the ear of a lot of important people. I mean, whether it's on TV or whether it's in the back corridors of politics.
Well, as you say, instead of lapsing into outrage comas attempting to silence people like Nugent, the more effective goal should be to quite simply discredit and marginalize these crackpots. And you say the more effective the marginalization is, the less influence screechers like Nugent will have. Interesting, you mentioned the poll. I just saw that. I'm going, did this come out after these Nugent remarks? I mean, because that says a lot about Texas.
Yeah.
if it did.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was after the remarks. I mean, this is the latest polling. And he is, I mean, Greg Abbott, sadly, you know, looks like he's going to win this election. And he's out there stumping with Ted Nugent, for God's sake.
I mean, hey, Abbott!
I can't, I can't grasp why exactly this guy is so popular. I mean, his music is atrocious. I mean, you know, and what he says, I guess, you know, Twitter is a perfect platform for him.
Right.
Because he, you know, going back way back, like 14 years ago, he had a show on VH1 where he was basically, you know, tweeting on this show while
yeah.
he was killing woodland critters. He was actually tweeting things that, you know, were like Ted Nugent's life lessons that were like, you know,
wow.
sentence fragments of,
yeah.
of wisdom.
You mean like how to your pants to get out of serving in the army?
Exactly.
Yeah, as yeah. you call it too, because obviously all of us here, big animal yeah. lovers, you call it he's the host of his own animal death porn telecast for the Outdoor Network. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, maybe I'm just officially old, Bob, because I made this this remark yesterday, standing like right under my Goldwater Miller poster. But I cannot believe the level of discourse we've gotten to. I mean, there's always been, you know, they did an ad against Goldwater mm-hmm. that had a nuclear bomb blowing up a little girl.
Well,
but
yeah.
you know, I mean, it's just this level of like. Of just the way people express themselves today is, I think, incredible in mainstream
yeah,
politics.
Yeah, young people these days. Yeah, you know, there are two sides to this. I think there's a very dangerous social media side to the discourse right now that condenses everything down to clickbait and you know and very narrow, simplistic ideas. But at the same time, I think that the internet has really benefited the discourse. I remember, you know, in high school in the 80s, I'm old, you know, there was a lot of discussion that, you know, maybe people are apathetic about politics and people aren't talking about politics and world events enough. And now everyone's talking about it. And I think that there's a positive side to that. I think even though, you know, everyone seems to have an opinion and everyone's blurting out things all over Twitter and Facebook, I think that there's something good about that. I think there's something that benefits. I think people are more informed now. I think people are engaged in the discussion more than they were maybe 20 years ago. So I think that's not all bad.
Yeah, I like how you end the piece. You say, indeed, ignoring the crazies is not unlike ignoring a suspicious mole. It might make you feel better to not worry about it, but it won't keep it from ballooning into something serious. And yes, I just compared Ted Nugent to skin cancer with apologies to skin cancer. Yeah, I remain happy clappy, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's still early in the Texas race, and I love Wendy Davis. And it's just one of my dreams, Bob, is to watch Karl Rove's face on election night when Texas, the whole map just turns blue and goes to President Clinton.
He'd probably turn blue, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is we don't see Wendy Davis going around with some crackpot, you know, on the
yeah.
stump. And I think that's also positive, too. I mean, I think at the end of the day, even if she ends up losing, at least she can lose with some dignity. Unlike Greg Abbott, who's going around with a guy who smeared himself in crap, you know, to get out of going to, you know, the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And we mean literal crap,
yeah.
as opposed
exactly.
to the stuff that he tweets.
Yeah.
All right. Bob Seska, great stuff as always. We will talk to you next week, sir.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's so cute.
In a related story.
Yes, Jim.
Article in Mother Jones. New study, internet trolls are often Machiavellian sadists.
Really?
Yeah.
I had not noticed they that on my is. Phone lines. Boing. All right. 44 minutes after the hour. Looky here. It's a love letter from Terry and Larry. Hey, Steph. I'm not the only crazy one in my family. Here's how real Chicagoans deal with the snow. Snowblowers and beer. Does it get any better? And this is them. That's shorts weather there in Chicago. It's
yeah. There it's in single digits.
Right.
But,
which is why you're going April 26th. Yeah.
Chicago, in the coming months, let's see where we can make progress together. Let's make this a year of let's make this a year of
sexy
liberals. That's what most Americans want.
That's right. Land of Lincoln, home of our president. On April 26th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its triumphant return to Chicago.
It should read, tonight only,
Stephanie Miller.
Triumphant return.
John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and progressive radio and television star Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com and at the Chicago Theater box office. Don't miss Stephanie Miller's own twist on Chicago-style politics.
Politics ain't beanbag.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live April 26th at the Chicago Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, do it. Get it. And by the way, very, very few tickets left for this Saturday in Fort Lauderdale, so I would get those quick. Albuquerque in May and Minneapolis in June. All of those tickets going very, very fast. As we know, Madison already sold out. Money many, many moons ago because Madison bitches be crazy.
Absolutely.
Don't be like an out-of-luck Madison bitch. Go now and get your Sexy Liberal tickets. And check out the new photos up at Sexy Liberal Facebook and SexyLiberal.com. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's like my favorite show ever!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Disco. I hear it's making a comeback.
Oh, boy. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. There they are, Terry and the gang. They picked out their sexy liberal outfits for when we're there in April. That's shorts weather in Chicago. They're blowing snow in their shorts.
Sitting there in their boxers.
Great.
It's got to be above 15 degrees. That's shorts weather.
It's almost triple digits.
Right? All right. Let's see. Let's go to Joe in Houston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I do listen to you guys for comic relief a lot. Okay. It's more of an at you than with you thing. But it is kind of funny how you're all up in arms about, you know, that idiot Ted Nugent and his crazy statements. But, you know, having you guys complain about civility and not demonizing your political opponents is just laughable. I mean, do you ever listen to your
I'm not running for office, however.
So, you support all the Democrats. You listen to left-wing talk radio.
Right.
It's actually worse than right-wing talk radio.
In what way?
Really?
You would think that every single white, male, Christian, heterosexual, conservative.
No. We talk about specific ones that say bigoted things.
And have you ever said anything good about anyone? Any of them?
Yes, I say lots of good things about lots of people. Why?
Yeah, we said just this morning that John McCain was a great person for urging Governor Jan Brewer to veto the legislation in Arizona.
Yeah, but you have also...
You asked for an example, dude.
If you're denying
that
you don't demonize... Are you denying that you don't demonize people like Sarah Palin?
Yes, people that I think are bullies. Right. People that I think racist or sexist or homophobic,
And Ted, you just think Obama's not a very good person, so what? I mean, you know, you guys...
Yeah, but he called him a subhuman mongrel.
No, he didn't call him not a good person. He called him a subhuman mongrel and a
Which
chimpanzee.
Which is what the Nazis called
Jews. Is that not racist? Is that a little racist, Joe?
You constantly complain. Oh, racism? You want to talk racism on your show?
Yes, okay.
You attribute racism to everything against Obama.
No, when someone calls him a chimpanzee,
Obama,
that's racist.
If anybody says every time somebody says, "Oh, Obama does something bad," "Oh, well, you just can't stand a black man being president," that is racist.
When someone says it in racism.
It is abject.
Do you think
racism.
There's been any racism regarding this president?
It is abject racism. When you attribute racism to your opponents...
I don't attribute racism to them unless they have said something that seems racist.
I have heard you several times talk about how...
Give us an example, Joe. Give us an example.
You want dates and times?
Yes.
I'll go back to your
transcript. There has been unprecedented disrespect for this president, and it is blatantly racist in many cases. Are you not even going to admit that Ted Nugent is racist?
He didn't call him an empty suit. He called him a subhuman mongrel. That's a little different.
Give me an example of a politician who was racist against Obama.
Let's see. Where would you like me to start?
Time and place. Time and place. You just asked me for time and place. Why can't you do it? You got
all that. Joe Wilson, you lie.
Joe Wilson yelled, "You lie," at the President of the United States in a state, at the State of the Union. Has that ever happened in our history?
You call that racist? Obama lied about a lot of stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Are you calling me
and why has that never happened before in our history?
Oh, so simply because somebody calls somebody out on a lie, and that person has to be half a lie.
When Sarah Palin, you asked for a politician. When Sarah Palin accuses the president of shucking and jiving on Benghazi, is that a racist term? Is that a little bit of a dog whistle?
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Nah.
And she's a politician.
Oh. And by the way, you're an idiot for calling me a name caller.
You people, just the way you people talk about things, it's just not you people. You're the racist.
You're just an empty suit.
Oh, I'm not being condescending.
Lord.
You're a racist.
People that are racist never think they're racist. Have you noticed that? People that are homophobic never think they're homophobic. Oh, like this guy, the GOP lobbyist behind the no gays in the NFL bill.
Yeah.
Who has a gay brother. when asked if he personally has any gay friends, of course he does. Racists and homophobes always conveniently have black or gay friends.
Sure.
Yes. When asked personally if he had gay friends, he said he did. And then asked how those friends would react to this legislation. He said, "I think they would respect it." Really? No, I don't think
so. Says no.
I think they might tell you to shove it up your ass. I think that's what I think. His brother is gay. He said, "I think the idea that he's pushing legislation that is just hurtful and ridiculous is just plain stupid." He actually tweeted, "Hey, Mike Sam, Berkman is being an ass. I'm his brother. I'm gay, and I stand with you."
Oh dear.
My brother's a hole. That's hilarious. Oh, by the way, all y'all sports fans, so I understand he didn't have a good, whatever the stats are in the NFL, Michael Sam, whatever they do trials and all that stuff. All right, I don't know why I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I don't know
Jim.
Why.
Jim! No, but I'm just going, I hope that they aren't going to use that, because he's like defensive player of the year, right? But so they're, I'm like going, oh boy.
He's not defensive. You're the one who's defensive.
I'm just saying, I hope they don't use that to not sign him, because they'll go, oh, he had bad stats in the Bible.
Whatever.
All right, perhaps I just shouldn't talk sports. Okay.
Yeah, and this concludes the sports section of the Stephanie Miller
Show.
And
in other hip-hop news, this is kind of funny. My old friend Larry King, several months ago, backstage at a concert in Central Park, he ran into CNN's former U.S. President Jonathan Klein, who ended King's 25-year career, and he said, "So you're the guy who hired Piers Morgan, huh?"
"How's that working out for you?" "And that guy's a kumquat."
King said he had no comment.
"Hello."
Larry says he would come back.
Yep.
Come on, do it.
By the way, Buddy,
do it.
Buddy in Columbus just sent along something racist that was said by a politician.
Yes.
Bachman said Obama was elected because of white guilt.
Right. That's racist. Okay.
People, you just call everyone a racist, and you're the racist. You people,
right, I am the racist for implying that there has been any racism leveled at the president.
It's hilarious you people do that sort of thing,
said the white guy in Houston.
Okay, kids, you know what it is. We're all feeling a little grief because Kiss will not play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame introduction.
Induction.
They will not rock and roll all night or at any point during the day. When they are inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they are unable to agree on which lineup should perform during the April 10th ceremony in New York City, and decided not to play at all. There's only one solution: to have Mini Kiss play. Oh, speaking of concerts, do you see that, Jim? I don't know if you missed this. A little hot girl-on-girl action. Miley Cyrus kissed Katy Perry. She kissed a girl
that,
at her concert Saturday night. No, she apparently didn't. She pulled away when Miley tried to stick her tongue in her mouth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I wouldn't either, just because you know where that's been. That's been everywhere, that tongue.
Yeah. That's been all up over Robin Thicke.
Ew. Yeah. All right. That's it for us. Sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki tomorrow live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.